The debt compromise. It's not a done deal yet, and it still leaves a lot undone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Jeremy Hobson. The debt cloud is finally lifting. That's the picture President Obama is painting with his announcement of a tentative debt ceiling compromise.
It will allow us to avoid default and end the crisis that Washington imposed on the rest of America.
Markets overseas have climbed on the news, even though this deal punts much of the tough decision-making into next year. On the line with us now is Mark Zandi. He's chief economist with Moody's Analytics. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So lawmakers in Washington are all smiles, but they aren't all done, are they? Does this deal solve our debt problems?
No, it doesn't. We need $4 trillion in deficit reduction over the next 10 years. This gets us $2.5 trillion, but I think that's an achievement. It's a big deal and a very substantive step forward.
Well, many economists, though, have said that we need to raise taxes, not just cut spending, to solve this long term.
Yeah, I think it would be appropriate to raise tax revenue. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to raise marginal rates. You can cut the deductions and loopholes and credits in the tax code. I think that would be much more efficient. It'd be, create a more fairer system. So I think that's still on the table and something that still needs to be discussed and negotiated.
Now, the credit rating arm of your organization, Moody's, has said the U.S. will keep its AAA rating for now. But there's still a widespread belief that bigger cuts were going to be needed. Does this prevent a downgrade?
Well, of course, I'm not part of the rating agency. I don't speak for them. But my sense is, listening to what they have to say, that this should be sufficient to maintain the AAA for the time being. But, of course, you know, these are analysts making their own decisions and views, and they may have a different one than my own.
We just got a paltry economic growth figure and cuts in spending at a time like that, it seems to me, could send us back into a spiral here. Does this plan give us the breathing room we need to get the economy going again?
I think so. I need to see more details, but my sense is, listening to the president, that there will be no additional spending cuts, at least not this year and next year, that the cuts will engage in 2013 and beyond. And I think by 2013, if everything goes reasonably well, the economy should be able to digest it. So hopefully we won't see any additional cutting in the very near term, because you're right, Bob, the economy is still very weak.
Mark Zandi at Moody's Analytics, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we still don't know if the debt deal will happen or not, but even if it does pass both houses, the bulk of the cuts don't happen right away. They're pushed off until next year, as we said. The tentative bill does try forcing the issue with the threat of a trigger set to go off if cuts aren't made. So how's that going to work? Marketplace's Gregory Warner explains.
So haven't we had enough threats? For weeks, politicians have been telling us that if they couldn't forge a deal on the deficit, we would hit the debt ceiling, possibly default, and wreak economic havoc.
And that was the triggering mechanism. Now we have perhaps a more rational trigger, which is if politicians don't come up with the required savings, automatic spending cuts would go into place. And that serves as a hammer.
Maya McGinnis heads the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a Washington think tank. She says this hammer is not as heavy as she'd like. It does, though, include deep cuts to defense spending. The idea is that both parties will seek a compromise to avoid that blow. But this hammer, or trigger, isn't set to go off until 2013.
Conveniently, after the election. So there are signs that all of this deal is structured to allow politicians to punt, delay these tough choices, put it all off until after the election.
Even then, she says, a bill is only as good as the will to stick by it. She says Congress might decide that this trigger, like the debt ceiling, is just too scary to pull. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Well, regardless of all that, there's been a big sigh of relief in the form of a global rally for stock markets from Asia to Europe. The numbers are up by as much as 1.5% in London at this hour, 0.2% in Frankfurt. It was a similar story across Asia. Tokyo and Hong Kong closed around 1% higher.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines.
NBA owners and players head back to the bargaining table today. It's the first time the two sides have met since owners imposed a lockout a month ago. In case the season is canceled, star basketball players are talking about getting paid to play in other countries. Could that undermine the owners' lockout strategy? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
A Turkish basketball team has been courting all-stars like Kobe Bryant and Deron Williams. With overseas job offers, elite players are under less economic pressure to cut a deal with team owners. But those are exceptions, says Gabe Feldman, director of Tulane's sports law program.
I think it's the rank and file who are more likely to start feeling the economic pressure, and those players are unlikely to get lucrative deals abroad.
Players aren't the only ones feeling the economic pinch. Some NBA owners say they lose money on games. I asked Feldman, do you buy that?
I think there is some substance that some teams are losing money. I think the number may be overstated, and I think the amount may be overstated.
Owners aren't so worried about players defecting to teams in Europe. They're more concerned that NBA players will follow in the footsteps of the NFL. Pro football players dissolved their union. That allowed a labor court to step in and end that lockout. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, from the business of sports to the sports in business. If you're thinking it couldn't get any more ridiculous than what we've seen in Washington over the past few weeks, consider how things could literally play out if the ratings agencies downgrade Spain's sovereign debt. There's word that the world's most expensive soccer player, Ronaldo, could be part of the financial fallout in Spain. It seems the banks that loaned the money so the Real Madrid football club could acquire Ronaldo and a Brazilian player, that banking group now wants to borrow funds from the European Central Bank. And they're essentially pledging Ronaldo and the other player as collateral, raising speculation that if things get really bad, the ECB could end up in the position of seizing the players. So if you want to keep your global finances straight, you're really going to need a scorecard. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.